Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and today we're going to be talking about dementia with one of our providers, Jade Williams. Before we do, I have just a couple of announcements that I'd like to share. First of all, what a terrific event we had. Last Saturday was the community Easter egg hunt, and we had a great turnout. Approximately 500 kids, family members came out in full support for Saturday's event. I do want to thank all of our sponsors. We had terrific help and volunteers from each of the organizations that was involved. A shout out to Ryan with Wilson Brewer Park Foundation, Sarah with Trinity Lutheran Church. We had Asbury Methodist Church, Sierra's Balloon Creations, the Cat Hut, and Rue Piper Farms provided some of our live baby animals in partnership with Van Deest Medical Center Foundation. And again, it was such a fun event. We had the Easter egg hunts, and then we followed it with a color run. And we had a lot of people participate, kids and adults, in the color run. And they looked fantastic when they were done. Fully tie-dye with all sorts of colors. It was just a terrific event. So I do want to thank those that came out and enjoyed the event, supported it, and those that helped really with the success. So thanks so much. In other events that we have coming up, tomorrow we have the community blood drive. It will be held from 12:30 to 5:30 at the clinic boardroom at Van Deest Medical Center. Appointments are encouraged, and the easiest way to schedule an appointment would be to go online to lifeservebloodcenter.org and schedule your appointment. You can do that today. I do want to give a thanks to the Hospital Auxiliary for sponsoring the blood drives, and a thank you to Scooters here in Webster City for the donation of cookies for our donors. We also have a spring into spring sale going on today at the gift shop at Van Deest Medical Center. 20% off one regular price item. So come out and shop. Take a look. They've got some great spring items. Maybe you're looking for just a little something special for Easter before the weekend. So we encourage you to come out, shop the gift shop today, and enjoy the spring into spring sale that they have going on. And then lastly, I want to mention, we have a uniform scrub and clothing sale that's coming up. It will be Wednesday, April 30th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Once again, it will be held in the clinic boardroom at Van Deest Medical Center. There will be 20% off all items. So the sale itself is not a fundraiser for the auxiliary. They have turned the proceeds around into that 20% discount for all the shoppers as a thank you. And so there are shoes and clothes and all sorts of fun items. This is brought to us by Emerson's at the Willow out of Mason City, Iowa. Again, come on out Wednesday, April 30th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and do some shopping in the clinic boardroom. And with that, we're ready to get started into our program. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about dementia with adult gerontology primary care nurse practitioner Jade Williams, talking about what dementia is, what we can do to reduce the risk of dementia. And she's got some great information. Jade actually presented this as a program at our last SALT meeting held earlier in the month, and we had wonderful attendance and just thought we could reach more people by having her come back and share information on one of our radio programs. So good morning to you, Jade.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us and talking about this topic today.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for asking me. This is something I'm passionate about and have spent many years learning about and broadening. And there's so much excellent research out there these days. So I appreciate I get to share with everybody.
Yes, it is a great topic. And like I said, we had great attendance for the meeting, lots of questions that followed. And so let's just get started into our topic.
All right. So dementia is actually an umbrella term for a range of conditions that affect memory, thinking, behavior, and a person's ability to perform everyday activities. As we age, we may wonder if there's anything you can do to reduce this risk of dementia. And so there are many factors that actually influence a patient's risk. Some studies have shown that people with healthy lifestyle behaviors have a lower risk of dementia. So understanding how your lifestyle choices are related to your dementia risk is going to be important for your health, and small behavior changes can add up and make them part of your routine, can support your brain health now and into the future. So several factors that actually increase your risk would be things such as your age, genetics, health, lifestyle factors, head injuries, mental health, and social and cognitive engagement, as well as your sleep. So age is actually one of the most significant risk factors. And as our chronological age nears 65, the likelihood of development increases. Your genetics, such as family history and certain genetic markers, can increase your risk. However, this can be offset with your lifestyle choices. Health conditions such as chronic diseases like diabetes, high blood sugar, high cholesterol, and heart disease. And then, of course, lifestyle factors. So lack of physical activity, smoking, excessive alcohol consumption, as well as a diet high in fats, sugars, and low nutritional value can contribute. Head injuries, a history of traumatic brain injury, such as a concussion, and then mental health conditions such as depression or chronic stress. Social and cognitive engagement, lack of mental stimulation, isolation, and low social engagement can contribute to cognitive decline as well. And then lastly, thinking about your sleep. So sleep disturbances, particularly sleep apnea. Research suggests that postmenopausal women who are not on hormone replacement therapy may have an increased risk of developing dementia compared to those who receive HRT or hormone replacement therapy, although the relationship between menopause hormones and dementia is complex. So some studies have indicated that estrogen, a hormone lost during menopause, might have a protective effect on the brain. And this has led to interest in whether HRT could lower the risk of dementia as well.
Interesting.
Factors such as age, genetics, overall health, and the timing of that hormone replacement therapy. So starting your treatment closer to menopause versus years later can play a role in your dementia risk. And then also there's no proven way to prevent dementia in general, but having a healthy lifestyle may help lower your chances of developing dementia as we age. So how can you support your brain health and help reduce your risk for dementia? My primary takeaway today would be to manage your blood sugar. Higher than normal levels of blood sugar or glucose can lead to diabetes and may increase your risk of heart disease, stroke, cognitive impairment, as well as dementia. And high levels of glucose lead to changes in your brain, such as inflammation, oxidative stress, accumulation of harmful proteins, and development of plaques. How can you manage your blood sugar levels? Making healthy food choices, getting in regular exercise, quitting smoking, and checking your glucose levels. If that's something you're interested in, you can always visit with your primary care and see where your glucose levels are hanging out at and what you can do to improve them. Controlling your blood pressure. So high blood pressure can harm your heart, blood vessels, and brain and may increase your risk of stroke and vascular dementia. Getting your blood pressure checked at your provider's office is important because many people with high blood pressure feel fine. To control your high blood pressure, your provider may recommend medications, lifestyle changes, eating healthy diets, and quitting smoking. Eating a healthy diet. So many studies suggest that what we eat affects the aging brain and its ability to think and remember. So healthy eating patterns and incorporate fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, and fats have been linked to cognitive benefits. More research is underway, but to determine if what we eat can help prevent or delay Alzheimer's disease or your age-related cognitive decline. Being physically active, so exercising, walking, lifting weights. It's such as going to help to reduce your risk of depression, diabetes, high blood pressure, and stroke. It also can contribute to age-related cognitive decline and certain types of exercise to help prevent muscle loss, as well as reducing your risk for falling. So currently we're recommending 150 to 300 minutes of moderate intense physical activity a week, plus 2 strength training sessions each week. So that moderate activity could be, like I said, walking, jogging. If you play golf, that's not using a cart, swimming. So just different ways to get you out there and getting active. And then keeping mentally active. So making activities such as reading, playing board games, doing crafts, taking up a new hobby or learning a new skill, and then working or volunteering, and of course, socializing. Staying connected with your family and friends. So connecting with people and engaging in social activities can also prevent social isolation and loneliness. And staying connected with your family, friends, and neighbors is an important way to support your cognitive health as you age. It also helps because they can start to determine if they see a change or something in you that mm-hmm. may alert you you need to go be evaluated by your primary care, or that something in your typical pattern has shifted. Treating hearing problems. So as we age, it's natural to start to develop a progressive bilateral sensorineural hearing loss. But unfortunately, this makes it more difficult to interact with others as well as your environment. And so our brain will start to develop and fill in those things for us. So if we're not hearing or seeing properly, this can definitely impact. It also increases our cognitive decline due to social isolation, decreasing your cognitive engagement, and also increases your cognitive load. So like I said, this actually will create structural changes within your brain, and your brain will also start to kind of formulate its own perception of reality. And then taking care of your mental and physical health. So this would include getting recommended health screenings, managing your chronic health issues, as well as regularly checking in with your healthcare provider. Sleeping well is going to be important not only for your mind, but also your body. Goal would be to try to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night. And you can always visit with your provider if you don't feel you're getting enough sleep or if your sleep isn't restful. So if you are maybe hitting that target, but you're waking up and you're not feeling well rested, that would be another conversation to have with your provider. As then, of course, consider preventing falls. So how can you do that? The rise of falls increases as we age because we start to lose our muscle mass, our flexibility, and our center of gravity changes. So falling can lead to serious injuries, including injuries to your brain. However, many falls can be prevented. So to take steps to prevent falls would be to just kind of evaluate your primary environment, looking for if you have rugs or things that are easily for tripping, making sure you're maintaining an equal flooring so that you're not having a lot of changes in elevation, and then thinking about what type of footwear you're wearing. Things, you know, flip-flops are a little dangerous as we get older. Making sure you're wearing shoes with good non-skid soles that provide full foot support is always ideal as we get older. And then, of course, an extra bonus would be to limit or avoid alcohol intake. You know, unfortunately, drinking too much alcohol can lead to falls and also can make certain health conditions worse, including your diabetes, your high blood pressure, stroke, and then contributing to memory loss and mood disorders. So we recommend that men should not have more than 2 drinks a day and women sticking to 1. And no, I don't recommend waiting and then combining those totals together on the weekend or on a fun night. But if you're looking in ways maybe to offset some of this, research has supported quite recently the introduction of 2, creatine and inulin. And so creatine might be something that you're familiar with or that you've heard and think more so of being attributed to the weightlifting world, but creatine has been shown to enhance your brain function. There was a meta-analysis that was published in 23 that found that creatine supplementation significantly improved memory performance in adults specifically aged 66 to 76, and the study included over 24 studies, which had a total of over 1,000 participants. The most profound study, however, in regards to creatine, and this is my opinion, was a meta-analysis of multiple randomized controlled trials that recently was published, found that consuming 5 grams of creatine daily for 6 weeks led to a 31% increase in memory performance and a 51% boost in processing speed, which is pretty significant. These benefits were more pronounced in individuals who were also under mental fatigue and experiencing sleep deprivation. So it'd be a good resource to offset, you know, if you are having issues maybe with a good sleep hygiene or tend to find that you are in a high stress environment or maybe a high stress job, this could be the supplement for you. And then, of course, inulin. Studies on inulin primarily focus on their effects on the gut health and came more from these emerging evidence that was discussing the gut-brain axis, but there has been shown indirectly benefit of your brain function with the use of it. And so the gut-brain axis and cognitive function, that inulin is a prebiotic that promotes the growth of beneficial gut bacteria. The gut microbiota plays a significant role in your brain health through the gut-brain axis, a communication pathway between the gut and the brain. And some studies suggest that improving gut health with prebiotics like inulin may reduce your inflammation, enhance your mood, and even improve cognitive functions such as memory and learning. Mood and cognitive benefits. Research has shown that inulin can influence the production of short-chain fatty acids, which have an anti-inflammatory effect on your brain directly. A study that was published actually in 2015 in Psychopharmacology indicated that prebiotics such as inulin could enhance your brain function and potentially improving mood and reducing anxiety-like behaviors, which is often related to cognitive decline as well. So if you have underlying mood symptoms such as depression or anxiety, that's also something to take attention to and visit with your provider about what would be some good options for you to help offset that. If you're constantly functioning at a high frequency, such as anxiety, you are still putting limitations then on to your cognitive abilities and increasing your risk for dementia. And then reduction of your cognitive decline and aging. So in animal studies, the prebiotics like inulin had been shown to have a neuroprotective effect, and these effects may help reduce your age-related cognitive decline. So for instance, there was a study in Frontiers in Aging Neuroscience from 2020 that found that prebiotics could enhance memory and protect against cognitive deficits by modulating gut microbiota and reducing your neuroinflammation. Neurotransmitter modulation. So some research suggests that the inulin might actually influence the production of neurotransmitters such as serotonin, which is critical for mood regulation and brain function. And there's been a lot more studies coming out that the serotonin is actually produced in your gut. So the healthier your gut is, the more stable your serotonin will be available for your brain. Which improves your mood. So The gut microbiota, like I said, is involved in the synthesis of several neurotransmitters. And by improving the balance of the gut bacteria, prebiotics might play a role in modulating mood and cognitive functions. And lastly, you know, a recent human study, while much of the research is still in its early stages, a study in 2018 from Nutritional Neuroscience suggested potential benefits of the prebiotic like inulin. It found that the inulin supplementation could improve memory and other cognitive functions in older adults. This is likely due to effects on the gut microbiota composition and your subsequent changes in your brain. So if inulin is something you're interested in, I would recommend making sure that you purchase it from an organic supplement company and that it's been through rigorous testing. The biggest concern about getting any type of supplements is if it's not processed appropriately and hasn't went through rigorous testing, because supplements are not FDA approved, there can put you at a risk for heavy metals, which unfortunately then would offset the benefit of taking a supplement. The biggest thing with the inulin is that you want to make sure that you are slowly introducing it into your regimen. And so I usually recommend taking a fourth of a teaspoon, and then you slowly increase your increments to get to the therapeutic dosage range, because you're affecting your gut. So you could see a little more like belching, a little maybe bloated distension if you were to maybe just, you know, go full throttle and mm-hmm. initiate a higher dosage. And then making sure that you're drinking lots of water to help, you know, offset some of those things. The one I've used comes in powder form, and you can just, I incorporate it into like my coffee in the morning. Mm-hmm. It typically doesn't have a taste. Same thing with the creatine. You can incorporate that kind of whenever you would choose into your day. Biggest side effects, you know, per se, that people might notice would be a little bit of weight gain, because it is pulling and driving that water actually into your muscle tissue. And so you can see a little bump in your weight overall, but it's water weight. It's not, you know, a true fat weight necessarily. So just making sure you're drinking lots of water. And of course, you're already thinking about incorporating a healthy diet into your regimen as well. And so doing all those things can set you up for success. So although the research is still evolving, there's going to be growing evidence to support the positive influences we discussed today on brain function, and taking those proactive steps like maintaining a healthy diet, staying physically active, and managing your chronic health conditions, engaging in mentally stimulating activities can help reduce your risk. So the biggest thing to really think about is that there isn't a cure. There's no cure for dementia or any of its subtypes, but we can do things to add to that bank to hopefully maybe have a delayed onset or prevent it hopefully from ever occurring. There's a ton of great research out right now in regards to different types of IV medications that can be utilized to help patients who have a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease specifically. But those really need to be done under, you know, a specialist. And so your primary care can also help maybe initiate or get you to have some cognitive testing if this is something you are concerned about. We do have two gold standards oral medications that the earlier we can get those onboarded, can definitely help also the progression as well. So there are options out there. It's just kind of, not being afraid to have that conversation with your provider so that we can get you the resources and the help that you would need if you are starting to develop some of those signs and symptoms. So.
Perfect. Jade, great information. This makes me think, as you say, if somebody feels they're starting to develop some signs and symptoms, how would you differentiate dementia from what might be expected from normal biological aging?
Right. So that's really where that cognitive testing can come into play. You know, there's different ones that we can use. In the office, I tend to use a MoCA. It's just a little more robust. And it's the one that I've become most familiar with utilizing. And it's going to look at different components of your processing. So like your executive function space, different things like that. There are some changes that occur as we get older. And so I think that's where it can get a little scary, because mm-hmm. I don't ever want somebody to feel like being diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's is taken lightly. You know, that's definitely not a diagnosis that we want to give, because there's so many other things then that go along with that. But that's that's a great time to go have a conversation with your provider, and they can kind of help identify. If you're in a situation maybe where you're under a lot of stress, maybe you're even exhibiting some symptoms of depression or anxiety, a lot of those can kind of come out and produce what we call brain fog, or issues with memory, or different components in your current life. And that's where your provider can help you kind of discern, is this something that's maybe just situational? Mm-hmm. And if we make a couple tweaks or kind of get you out and through this hump, that we can, you know, get you back to your prior baseline, or is this unfortunately a progression? It's typically slow, and there's different stages that come with this, but that's why it's really nice to get somebody that you're comfortable with to help you kind of start to identify. And then, you know, if it's something that even your primary provider might feel not comfortable with or struggling, there's other centers available, especially here in Central Iowa, that we can always refer you out to. There's a really excellent older adult specifically clinic down in Des Moines that I've referred a lot of patients out to. It was started actually by kind of well, in my opinion, a very great geriatrician that we had in the state of Iowa, Dr. Bender. And so he kind of helped formulate this center, and this is what they do. They are the specialist that's available within the area, and we can refer out to them and have them evaluate and see, you know, if there's options or what specifically we're dealing with. You know, if it turns out that you end up having an outlier, there's a couple other centers that's great. There's one down in Kansas City, and then, of course, one with Nebraska Medical as well that can help. And, of course, the University of Iowa, great resource. So is Mayo. But those are kind of the heavier hitters if we need real specialized care for those patients. So. Mm-hmm.
Great. So for those who are listening and maybe kind of wondering, if you have questions and are unsure, that conversation is like, it's perfect to go to your primary care provider and start there and share your concerns. As Jade has mentioned, there's cognitive testing that can be done to kind of find out what it is that is going on.
So. Right. And it's tough because, like I said, nobody wants to give somebody the diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. There's also a lot of conversation. I should probably take a quick moment about amyloid. You can then, if you are tested for amyloid and it comes back positive, then you need to have a plan with your provider. What does that mean and where do you go from there? Because then we can also see cases of what we call asymptomatic. You might be positive for amyloid, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're having any of the outward symptoms of, say, the Alzheimer's disease from the amyloid development or retainment, essentially. So then that's also where the specialist also should become involved as well with those cases. I personally am not testing anybody for amyloid. If that was a certain concern, then I would definitely refer out to one of the specialists to test you for that and have that conversation. So
very good. And again, I do want to mention Jade had shared some studies that had been done, some research, and a couple of things that can improve your cognitive ability. You know, creatine she mentioned, and inulin. So that inulin is spelled I-N-U-L-I-N. Mm-hmm. Creatine and inulin, and you recommend that for...
Really, they recommend anybody over the age of 11 can start. That's what the studies have supported. The studies I had read, they didn't really see any benefit necessarily 11 and under, but over the age of 11, which really 12 is where we're classified as an adult by other standard guidelines. So, you know, you can always start to incorporate it and see if it's making a difference, you know, and... the research is there to support it. So
for sure.
You just got to give it time. It's not a quick fix. So give it a little bit of time before you evaluate if it's making an improvement or not.
Right. Yep. So not to start in and then expect 2 to 3 days later, oh, how come I feel like I still have this brain fog?
No, right.
You've got to let it get into your system, give it time, and definitely impressive results from the studies.
Right. So usually 6 to 12 weeks, depending on which study it was, where they were starting to see the real improvement in cognitive function. So
very good. Such good information, Jade. Again, another terrific program. Thank you for being a guest. I do want to mention, if you have additional questions, want to schedule an appointment with Jade, you can call Vandy's Family Health Clinic here in Webster City at 515-832-7800.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Jade. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Diest Medical Center, where our focus is you.